Right, thanks, John. I'd first just like to thank you all for praying for us when we were on holiday, praying for Georgina after she'd had that accident, and at least we got home safely. But it continues. We, you know, she gets a bit better. She gets more frustrated with the things she can't do, as one normally does. But she is getting better. Thank the Lord for that. But what a week. I've had 2 weeks, and this last week has been absolutely horrendous, really. I can't remember being stressed before, really, since I left work, but this was definitely a week for that. Not only sort of getting ready for Saturday, for going out on Saturday, which probably took about 3 days out of the week, but what happened then as John said, that we got a telephone call last Sunday night, that our son Ross had to go into hospital. So when he rang me on Monday, I had to go and pick him up and take him in there. But he was saying, "Oh, I know Mum's really bad, but if I have to go in hospital, what about the dog?" So of course, he's got this big dog that we won't have in the house because it will wreck our house. Our house was not ever intended for dogs or young children. So I took him into hospital, then I'm having to go over to Fleet, which was 8.1 miles to his house from ours, twice a day to feed the dog and to walk it and all this sort of thing. So we had all this going on, as well as sort of trying to help do bits around the house, which I'm not very good at and don't do a lot. Bits in the garden that need doing, and you know, it got to Wednesday night, and I said, it was like I hadn't even thought about anything to speak about. And Wednesday night, I thought, right, Wednesday night, went over to feed the dog. We had an early dinner, went over there to feed the dog, nearly ran out of diesel, came back, filled up the van on the way back to the prayer meeting, came to the prayer meeting late, obviously. Finished the prayer meeting, went home. I literally just walked through the door at 9:30 and the phone went, and Ross says, "They're letting me out, can you pick me up?" So off to Frimley Park, picked him up about 10 o'clock, took him home, relieved that I hadn't got to walk the dog anymore, because he can get quite stubborn, this bulldog, and when he goes boom like that, you can't budge him. So I thought, great. Came home, got home about 10:30, or just after, I think, and Georgina was just about to go to bed, and I thought, right, I just got to chill out. What am I going to do? I thought, I just turn the telly on, don't care, I just need to something, just light entertainment, something, you know? So I put the telly on, flicked through, you know, flicked once through one channel from BBC, BBC Two, and what did I see? Newsnight, Richard Dawkins face on the, and I thought, I can't believe this. This, you know, the BBC giving this guy airtime about his new book called Outgrowing God. Now this guy, it was unbelievable. It was a lot of the little 8 minutes. I mean, I didn't see it all straight away. I did actually go and look at it later on because I thought, let's check this out. But he was really having a go at children, you know, aiming everything at the children. He started off saying about, well, these religious schools, you know, the Christian schools, the Jewish schools, the Islamic schools. She said, well, the schools are fine, but they should get rid of any form of religion out of the schools. I'm thinking, can you understand this guy? Then he was, you know, I don't know about you, but I get quite outraged when I hear him talking on. I don't often listen to him, but it just happened to happen that night. He was saying no educated person would believe in Adam and Eve and 6 day creation. He said, and it's scandalous. He said, 40, and this was a something that had come out, 40% of Americans believe it, he said. It's ridiculous. He said, there's a lot less in the UK, but even more in Islamic countries that believe in Adam and Eve and the six-age creation. He said, it's scientific falsehood. But he says, I like church music, I like Bach, and I like Handel, and I like the architecture of these buildings and the stained glass windows, but he just doesn't like anything that goes on. And I thought, I got so frustrated with this, I thought, I just, you know, this is unbelievable. But things are going on like this. I mean, I remember reading, and I did check this out that recently, that David Attenborough, right, not only David Attenborough, but Richard Dawkins, 50 other so-called leading scientists, petitioned the Welsh government to outlaw the teaching of creationism in science classes. And they said they want to give more, give evolution a greater prominence, even in primary schools and up. That's what these guys are petitioning, you know? That was just the Welsh government, not about the English government. You know, I think what the Bible calls them is hypocrisy, liars seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron. And I think that's what's happened. These guys, I just can't understand. I mean, probably none of us can, the logic behind it. Okay, that was all aimed at children. But then, you know, what's happening? You know, it's the church sort of missing its divine purpose in this country and anywhere else at the moment. Yeah, I remember a few weeks ago, Alan showed us slides up here of what's going on in some of the cathedrals. And in fact, I was looking, the only bit of reading I ever did this week was a little article out of the Prophetic Witness magazine. We were looking at our big advert we've got on one page and on the rest. And Tony Pierce was going over exactly what Alan was saying as well. And I thought, it's absolutely amazing. His title was Funny Cathedrals, which is exactly what Alan... You know, but it's not funny. We've got Manchester Cathedral has had a gin and rum festival. Rochester, which Alan showed us, they're playing mini golf. Tony Pierce, they're playing mini golf where pilgrims have knelt since the 7th century praying. Norwich Cathedral, that was one of the pictures Alan showed us, of this helter-skelter in the church. Peterborough Cathedral, well, their programme, the ancient tradition of yoga, connectedness with nature, and they have this Gaia Earth artworks hanging from there. You know, these are our Church of England cathedrals. St Paul's, Southwark, Newcastle, Peterborough cathedrals, they have been embracing Islam, right, by celebrating the iftar meal during Ramadan. This is what is happening in the churches of England in this country. I'm appalled by what goes on. But then when you look in the Bible, you just... What does it say? What does Paul say to Timothy? This is the other interesting bit. I'll not find it. Right. What does he say? 1 Timothy, chapter 4, the first few verses. But the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and false doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience with a branding iron. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. Something else that Tony said in his letter was put down. A guy called Jeffrey Grinder, on his website, Now the End Begins, that's what his website's called, writes, over the past years, there have been a tidal wave of contemporary Christian church leaders who have dramatically announced that they are leaving the faith because they no longer believe the Bible is true. One example for you. You've all heard of the Hillsong Church, haven't you? Started off in Australia, yeah? Well, Marty Sampson, one of Hillsong United's original worship leaders, and he's written a lot of their so-called praise songs, popular praise songs, we call it, you know, the pop type of things. He doesn't want to be a Christian anymore. Christianity seems just like every other religion. The Bible's full of contradictions. And there's not enough miracles going on. Now this, you know. Another author, Joshua Harris, decided he'd had enough and walked away from the faith as well. I think he was in America. And again, Tony says, Baptist pastors write in USA Today magazine telling Christians to apologise to the LGBTQ brigade. Well, folks, this is where we're at this moment in time. Denominational churches, maybe one stage they used to be good, but they're trying to attract people in any which way they can. And it infuriates me, and I hope it does you. It's sort of, probably call this sermon my rant for once, can't you? But quite honestly, it's crazy what's going on. They're all aiming at seeker-friendly, just like it happened in the hyper-charismatic movement and which goes on. We've got, you know, these mega churches like the Hillsong Church. I think there's five in the UK, and they've got thousands of people there going each week. Mostly young people, young families, and they tempt them with this music, which is more like a pop concert. Most of their time is spent on jumping up and down and what they call praising, but I mean, it's really just the pop music, really, and jumping around. And, you know, they're just playing on people's emotions. That's the problem, you know? I don't give them any solid doctrine. Brian Houston, right, the originator, says Allah is the same as God. Hillsong supports the LGBT movement. That's from the founder of Hillsong. That's where they're at. You know, is it surprising that many like this Marty Harris, they may never have been grounded in the word properly? They probably never, I mean, we don't know. They may never have been Christians. We just don't know. You know, if they were grounded, they wouldn't be disillusioned and leave as quick as this. The real problem is that when people leave a church and so far give up Christianity or whatever, or leave some churches, they never want to touch it again. That's the problem. We get people leaving various churches for different reasons and not wanting to come into another church because they've been hurt. That's what's happening in this world, in this country. You know, Paul, again, he told us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 exactly what would be happening. He said, difficult times will come in the first verse. Well, sorry, they're already here, I think. I really do. The whole lot. What does he say? We all know this very well. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That puts it, men will be lovers of self and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that, I think, is what we see in our society at this moment. You know, look at us here. We're very few. Okay, we've got 10 adults and 6 children missing today, but we're small, aren't we? You know, we try to stick to the literal meaning of the Bible. We're not seeker friendly. We're not going to go out, and we don't go out on Saturdays trying to drag people in through promising them things like, you know, well, God will give you everything he wants. He'll give you money, pleasure, good health. He'll give you all the happiness you want. No, we don't say that because the Bible doesn't say that. What does it say? Scripture tells us that we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. Penalty of sin is death and spiritual separation from a loving God for all eternity. That's the punishment for sin. That's what we were all aiming for before we come to know the Lord. You know, that's not seeker friendly, that is it? You tell people that, they go all upset. You know, but that's what the Bible says. That's the bad news, but the thing is, we have the answer. We have the good news more than anyone, you know. We can be joyful in times of trouble. Not easy sometimes, but we can for one reason, that we know where we're going. I think we're all believers here anyway, so I don't need to preach the gospel to you. But that is the case. That it is a wonderful gift that God, yeah, he created us with a free will. So that we can do what we want. Yes, he wanted us to come to him and to just have fellowship with him. But of course, our original parents committed that original sin, which is in each one of us. And that's nothing we can do about it. But at least, you know, when you think that Jesus, who created every single thing, came back as a human being, because he had to be in human form to be that blood, sinless blood sacrifice for each and every one of us, to take the punishment that we deserve, and he went to that cross, didn't he? For us, you and me, and everyone out there, but they don't realise it. Did it for the whole world. And all we had to do is to believe in what he did. Believe in him. Believe, put our trust in and follow him. That's what we've done here. That's why we go out on a Saturday. You know, we've got that wonderful promise, haven't we? That we will spend all eternity with a loving God. No pain, no crying, nothing. We know that. You know, I spoke on this all earlier on in this year of the destinations that both Christians and non-Christians have. Well, if they understand that, I can't understand why they would possibly want to go to the lake of fire. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. The problem is they don't understand and they don't listen and they don't know it. This is it. Anyway, I'm getting off track. I do fear for the youngsters in this society, and this is another survey that was done by a company called Yakult UK. The poll was taken for 1,500 British people, right, aged between, and it showed 89% of those aged 16 to 29 say life lacks purpose or meaning. How sad is that? That they feel that. That's probably why we see so many youngsters committing suicide and all this. There's no meaning in life for them. That's what that is. You know, it's compared. There's 55% of over 60s that answered in the same way. That is really, really sad. And this came out, I mean, Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis, which probably a lot of you know. He puts the blame, and I'll give you a quote, he puts the blame on lack of Christian faith among young people for this tragic data that we said. He says, the belief that life has no meaning or purpose is the outworking of the religion of evolutionary secularism that permeates the education system and the media in the UK. Not only the UK, America as well, and others. When you adopt the religion of atheism, you have to deal with its consequences, one of which is that ultimately there's absolutely no meaning or purpose in life. We can see that, can't we? If we all came from a blob of nothing, and that's how evolution is developed over the year, there is nothing. It's totally, totally has no purpose. It just goes on and on and on and on, nothing. We're not there. He says, but as Christians who understand and embrace God's word, we won't be deceived. We know our Creator has a purpose for our lives. It comes from a proper perspective on the history of the universe and humanity. One that starts with God's word. We're not accidents, the result of millions of years of random process. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139:14 says. We're in the image of our Creator, Genesis 1:27. And he has given us his word, which clearly tells us our purpose and meaning. Wonderful. That is what Ken Ham says. It's totally true. You know, and then we've got the other big issue, targeting young people, is this LGBT, transgender sexuality issue that's around. Now, answer. I just had again this week the Answers magazine dropped through the door. The other Creation magazine's a bit late this month, and virtually the whole of the magazine. I mean, they're scientifically rebutting this issue of LGBT, transgender and all this. Yeah, and that's the main issue, main focus of the issue. Let me just show you, Chris. Can you put that front cover of that up? You'll be interested. You see, this is the front cover of the Answers magazine that I got this week, right? Now, if we just, I've blown up part of it. If you could do the next one, it sort of shows it a bit bigger. Pick it down. But can you understand this? The teaching that children are getting in schools and the way the government's going along and everything's going along with this sexuality issue, this is what's going to happen. Do you see this? Two toilet doors, the men's and the ladies, and this little boy standing there scratching his head, not knowing which one to go in. I think that is really, that is a brilliant, brilliant example of what is going to happen to a lot of the youngsters in our schools in the future. It's very sad. We leave that up, Chris. We just leave that. So, I believe the church is failing our society. It's letting the enemy beat us, that's for sure, with all this going on. You know, where is a national Christian figure in this country that is as well known as people like Dawkins and Attenborough? There is not one. You know, the ones you would expect to be up there, like the Archbishop of Canterbury, for argument's sake, head of the Church of England, it's rubbish. You know, we've seen what they're doing. You know, there's no national figure that's doing it, you know. So how do we as Christians counteract it? Well, Jesus gave us instructions of what we're to do. And they're quite straightforward, and we all know them very well. In Matthew 28, this is what he told all Christians through his disciples. He said to them, and it said, Jesus came up and spoke to him, the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. All authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's our commission. That was given to the disciples and passed right through the generations to us. Great thing is, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. That's what he said, so we know. That's comforting to know, especially when you want to go on the front line. It's comforting to know his support. You know, I mean, here in this church, we're like minnows in a lake, aren't we? We're so small in a huge lake, you know. But we are trying. We're trying. At the moment, we're trying to reach people through what we're doing on a Saturday. Yes, okay, we spend 3 hours there Saturday. You know? I mean, it is on the front line, approaching people. You know, I'll be quite honest with you, it's quite easy to go and give tracts out, just hand them out, and it's quite easy to answer people's emails or whatever. It's a lot harder to go up to people and start a conversation. That's the difficult, and that's why so few people do it. But I tell you what, some of the conversations you get are really rewarding, aren't they? Can I ask Tricia, Jordan, and Chris, and Lou, and Pat, and Ola, you know, they're really rewarding. I mean, in each week we think, oh, I mean, yesterday I felt really bad, and I was thinking, we really start, this is slow, this, nothing's happening. But if I look at the 3 hours, I had three really interesting and good conversations, and that applied to each one of us that were there. You can ask each one, and we've all had some interest. You know, we may be small, we're, you know, Jesus said we'll make you fishers of men. Well, quite honestly, it's not to go out with a huge net and throw out and pull loads of people in. We're going out with one little hook and we're dangling it out to see if we can hook one person out of the fire of hell. That's what we're doing, isn't it? And it is encouraging when we get some of the conversations. We've had other Christians saying how good it is for us to do this, you know. So they haven't seen it around before. And, you know, I think we will make a difference. Yesterday was the end of 6 months, 26 weeks we've been doing it. Goodness knows how much literature we've given out. There's been 643 of these pictures I've been doing with scriptures on and the gospel on the back and everything, they've gone out. We've given Beth, who's painted these cards, and I've stuck them on the computer and printed. We've given hundreds of cards out. Now, they, not to the people that picked them up, but they would be going out anywhere. We had two girls all weeks ago from London. They were in a church in London. They came down and said, oh, that's really good what you're doing. So I said, give me your email address, and I emailed them the cards and the format so they could do it. You know, it's just getting the word out. But how many of those bridge tracks? Every single person has gone away with a bridge track that we've talked about, and many more, and other information that we've had on the table. There's a lot of stuff that's gone out, so I think we will be making a difference. We might not see a lot of it, might never see the results of some of it. But that's not what the Lord told us. He said, go, which we are doing. We're going. Yes, make disciples. Well, first people have got to get saved. We're discipling each other weekly. Yeah? And it's been going on and on and on. But we don't see many new people in here. New Christians. That's what we need to be doing. You know, go. We're going. The Lord will save some. Hopefully we can get some to come here. It would be a lot easier if we had a church in Aldershot, I tell you, because people go, where's Tongham? I think, well, you know, it's a suburb of Aldershot, you know. But anyway, I go off track completely. You know, something else. Dawkins says that we Christians are ignorant, uneducated, and unscientific. What does the Bible say? You just look at this, I think is a classic. 1 Corinthians 1:20, just one verse, I'll read it. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And that is it. They consider themselves so intelligent. But what they say is crazy. That's what God's done. The wisdom of the world is made foolish. That's the only truth we want to stick to. I answer yes. I think that is a brilliant verse. You know, and I do applaud organisations like the Creation Ministries and Answering Genesis, two of the main big creation ministries, and others, that there's so many scientists they have that are all rebutting evolution and everything with proof. They're all in their different fields, scientific fields, and they're all bringing stuff based from the Bible to start with. Everything starts with the Bible, and they're bringing it. And it's wonderful, but I wonder how many get distributed around the world, really. Probably very few when you think of the population on there. But they're always rebutting evolution, this utterly false theory. That's all it is, a theory. It's no proof at all. I mean, when you read some of the articles in these two magazines, it's wonderful the way they go about it, because they usually look at a particular thing and they'll go everything that the evolutionist says, and they'll go through everything and then until they get to the end and they say, but, and show exactly where it's at, where creation is at. And it's so logical, you know, this is it. You know, I really can't get my head around this absolutely stupid worldview of transgender thing. You know, I'm sorry, but, you know, God created man and woman to procreate and expand the human race. Yeah? That's the whole thing. You know, you've only got to look at the human body and you'll know the difference. If anyone can't see the difference, they're crazy. It's illogical, absolutely illogical. But anyway, I'm sorry I've been ranting a bit this morning, not like my normal Sunday preaching. But I can see society heading headlong into God's judgment for what's going on. Judgment of the Great Tribulation cannot be that far off when you see what is going on. It says, as in the days of Noah, well, very few people came to know the Lord. As in the days of Lot, well, that homosexuality was rife in Sodom and Gomorrah, and this is what we're seeing happening now. And these so-called intelligent people are just lapping it all up. It's unbelievable. You know, we got the answer. The answer's in the Bible, the Word. I mean, it's true. I mean, again, many archaeologists, probably not even Christians, are digging up things and proving various things that the Bible says, you know, through the historical things in the Bible. It's proven it's true. We can go around the British Museum, and you can go around particular, there's a little book, you can go around all the different, and see all the different items in the British Museum from different ages that show the Bible is true, what it says. I think it's great. I pity not many more people would do that. You know, I'd rather trust God's word than quite honestly, man's fallible ideas is what I would call it. And I really just pray that this little church of us will come together and we'll just take action for the Lord, and we'll do more for the Lord. And, you know, because I really do, I fear time is short. We haven't got a lot of time. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us your word, and that your Holy Spirit has opened up the meanings to a lot of your word to us, Heavenly Father. Lord, I'm sorry if I've been ranting on a bit this morning, but it really frustrates me, some of the things that are going on in the world. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that we are able to be able to explain to people and go out and approach people and spread your word, Heavenly Father, because it's only your son gave us a great commission. Yes, Jesus will build his church, but he needs us to do the legwork, to do some legwork, Father. We have to do it. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us and that you would give us some encouragement from the work we do for you. But Lord, please, Heavenly Father, give us all more boldness to go out and speak to people, Heavenly Father, because that is your commission. That's what we're here for, is to spread your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would enable us in this little church to be able to snatch a few people out of the fire of hell, Father. So, Father, I just pray that you would save some of those that we are speaking to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.